Have you guys seen on YouTube some of these videos where people are on their phone or they're texting and they're doing stuff and they're walking into lampposts? Have you seen that? They're walking into plant posts, planting their face into a door. It looks like something I would do. But I have no excuse because I don't walk around with the phone. I just hit things because I'm tall. But you see people falling into holes, and those can seem kind of funny. But as I was praying to the Lord, and then as I was thinking about what he wanted me to share with you this Sunday, there was a story I could not get out of my mind, and it's sad. It's not funny. There was a girl in Florida who was 11 years old, and she was killed by a train. But the way that it happened is something that'll stick in your mind. At least it stuck in my mind. She was walking across the tracks, not paying attention to where she was going. She had her headphones in, and she was looking down at her phone. She was so focused on whatever it is that she was watching and what she was listening to that she couldn't see. She didn't look, and she couldn't see the train was coming. The engineer saw her and was honking the horn. And the headphones must have been really, really loud, because those are those little earbuds. They're not noise canceling. And she could not even hear the train engine. She couldn't hear it. And so she was gone that quick. And I thought about that, and I thought about how sad it is. Not only something like that happens, but even more so, we have so many people in this world that are living spiritually distracted lives. They are only hearing what they want to hear. They are only looking and seeing the reality they want to see. They have their minds closed off to the truth. They have been blinded. They have been deaf to the truth. And they won't listen, let alone maybe even come into church, and they blind them. People are walking down a wrong path. They don't even know where they're going. It's dark. And they have their own version of the truth. Have you heard your truth? You ever hear somebody say, well, that's my truth? Guess what? There is no personalization of truth. It's kind of like you went across the street and the light is red, but hey, my truth is it's green, and I'm going to walk right out there in front of the traffic and expect it not to hit me. No, there's one truth. You're going to get hit. So you need to realize that you cannot just explain God away or make him into your own version of God or explain the Bible away or only pick and choose the things that you want to believe that are true. We need to know what truth is. And sometimes things happen in our life to wake us up to that truth, yes? We call it a reality check. I wanted to share with you Proverbs 14:12. It says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There are two paths in life, and we see this throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. Jesus said, narrow is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, but wide is the path of destruction, right? And a lot of people are on the wide path. In other words, lots of people take the wide, easy path. They listen to their own advice, right? They're not in tune with God, and they're not looking for true wisdom. So you can walk in a path of darkness, which leads to death. You can walk in a path of light, which leads to life. And we see this theme throughout the entire Bible, do we not? It's especially in Proverbs. The path of the wise and the path of the fool is also what it's called. But Christians, we believe we're on the path of light. Amen? Do you believe that? And I believe that you and I, we are on this right path. We are on the path of light. We are on a path that leads to life. And we're talking eternal life with Jesus. The path that leads to death is what? Goes to the other place, called hell, and a lot of other different things. It's hard to describe these places, but whatever your path is that you stay on, eventually that's going to end up being your final destination. But we Christians, how many of you guys know that we're not exempt from once in a while taking a detour onto the dark path? Yeah, sometimes we do that. And in 1 John, the apostle says it this way, 1 John 1:5 through 6, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Wow. So what is he saying there? He's saying that there are people, we can profess to love Jesus. We can profess to know him as our Savior. And we can think that we're walking in the light, but we're walking in darkness. But we think we're walking in light. What is that called? It's called lying to myself. It's called self-deception. The power of self-deception is within the sinful human nature, and it is one of the most powerful forces, but it can be defeated. But it only is defeated by spiritual power greater, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But the thing is, we got to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Even you and I, gang, it would be great, wouldn't it? You come to church, you pray a prayer, I'm a Christian, woo! All my feelings to do bad things go away. Wow. And then I get short-circuited right to heaven. Wow, I just say the word and you're out of here. Wouldn't that be great? But the reality is, no, that doesn't happen. Now, believe me, God's arms of grace are wider than any of our hearts of self-condemnation. His love is far greater. But I want to share this with you today, because even me, I've not been immune from this. I've backslidden, and I have taken the detour to the dark side before, and it has not done me well. But I have learned lessons along the way of being on the other side of things. Why do we fall? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at a couple things. What happens when a Christian backslides? We have the Holy Spirit, right? Now, he speaks to us, right? But then we still have what we call the flesh. The New Testament, the Bible calls it what? The flesh, or the works of the flesh. And flesh doesn't mean my skin here, but it is the part of me that can be tempted to do the wrong thing. It's the part of me that can be led astray. The feelings within me is a part of me that just wants to satisfy my desires and my appetites, right? Whether they be sexual, whether that be food or whatever it is, whatever feels good, do it, right? That is the flesh, okay? And that is always fighting against us. But it's not more powerful than God. But you see, we have to have faith in God and trust that he has that power. And that's kind of the area I wanted to talk about a little bit today. Because what happens, I think, when we backslide or a Christian falls into sin is we kind of get desensitized towards sin. It's not a big deal, right? The more you do something, the more desensitized you get to whatever the action is that you're doing. Whether it's watching something, listening to something, participating in something, you get what's called desensitized to it, right? Something negative. Works that same way with drugs, with alcohol, right? It's like, oh, this is not a big deal. I'm just going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ugh, this old 12-pack is mine, right? I mean, that happens. It happens, right? And I'm not just picking on that, but using that as an illustration because that's how it is, right? Don't we do everything to extreme in America? We do. We have no idea what the word moderation means. Moderation, what's that? It's not probably not even in our dictionaries, you know? But But that's kind of the way we are inside. We can take something and just go to an extreme, but there are some things that there is no moderation, right? Sexual purity, God just puts an outline and says, do this, don't do that. But it doesn't make the temptations go away. And so we get desensitized. Then the second thing that happens to us, it's not big deal, right? Desensitized. The second thing is called self-justification. Not God justifying. We justify our own actions. Well, you know, it's not so bad. I mean, this person's doing it, that person's doing it, and you know, I seem to be doing all right in my life. You know, I seem to be kind of living blessed, you know. Yeah, you know, and you know what I mean? And you just, these kind of thoughts will go around and you'll stay in that area. And it makes it hard to break out. You go in a vicious cycle. And that is what the Bible calls the works of the flesh. And the devil loves it. It's how he gets Christians to sit on the bench instead of being in the game. There you go. There's the free Super Bowl illustration. Why do Christians fall into sin? Why? I mean, why are we tempted? Right? There's a few things. You might be disappointed with God. Let's just say it. Sometimes we're disappointed with how God is working in our lives. Or we're thinking, now none of us, well, maybe we do, but I've heard people say, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Or I'm not going to bother praying anymore. Because such and such is happening in my life. And I can't tell you there haven't been times where I've felt that temptation. I don't think I blame God, but I've wondered. I've questioned at times, right? When things don't seem to work out the way I want them to work out, but we become disappointed with God, right? We do. So that's one of the things that tempts us to go off the path of light and the path of darkness. Another one, we see other believers who seem to be happy living in sin, right? We see not only people living in sin that don't believe the Lord, but we see people that confess Jesus and they're worshiping and they're praying and praising God and everything, and then they're fully involved, not stumbling, tripping in onto the other path. They're fully walking on the other path, walking, living in sin, and they seem so happy. Like, wow, I'm trying hard to live this, but they don't seem to be trying hard at all, and they're doing fine. Why am I bothering to come to church? Why do I bother to do this stuff? This is boring. Listen to a pastor is boring. Right? You know why it's boring? Because you're not being tuned in to the right station. You're tuned in to what's in it for me. Gang, the devil is real. He's not this thing that's made up. And he's not some dude in a red suit, and he's not somebody that's in some weird Hollywood TV thing. And he works on Christians, especially young ones, to pull them aside. It's boring. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be listening to this stuff. When is this over? Right? Right? I mean, you guys are like, oh, man. It gets better. Don't worry. We underestimate the power of flesh, right, of the temptations. We underestimate that, right, don't we? We can get, oh, man, I'm so on fire for God. Oh, I love God so much. I just worship him. And, man, you know, I can't see myself ever sinning, right? Right? And then you see somebody like, the eyes looking where they shouldn't look, right? And then thoughts going where they shouldn't go. And then actions that shouldn't happen. And you just fall over yourself into that other area. I'm just trying to be real with you guys. Because I've walked it, I've stumbled it, I've tripped on it, I fell it in my face, just flat out. And it doesn't end well. But thank you, Jesus, he rescued me from it. Amen? And he can with you too. Sometimes we just underestimate the power. Sometimes, you know, though, it has nothing to do with any of that. Sometimes we have doubts about what we've been taught growing up in Sunday school, what we've been taught growing up in church because we listen to a teacher in school, or we watch a television show that wows us, or we look at or we read something on the internet and we think, wow, why do I believe in Jesus and the Bible and all this stuff, man? These guys are saying, they're criticizing it, saying, man, I don't know, Jesus is even real. Did he really exist? And all these questions, right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever questioned the person questioning your faith? Have you ever been critical of the critic? Let me ask you another couple questions. Why is it that there are so many people that are hell-bent on trying to discourage and defeat Christianity but could care less about Islam and Hinduism and all the other world religions? Why is there such a concentration? Watch your television shows. How many of those television shows are Secret of Hinduism Exposed? It's not. It's all about the Bible exposed. Who was the historical Jesus? And a lot of it is hot air and nonsense. But because someone shows up, has a degree, Dr. So-and-so under his name, you're going to believe him. Wow. Let me show up in a lab coat and glasses. Wow, that's real impressive. Let me show up with the, oh, I have so many degrees. That's impressive. You know what? People with college education can lie too. Gang. Especially young people. Don't buy into that baloney. Don't buy into that. Question the questioner. Criticize the critic. Let me ask you another thing. Why are there so many former atheists that become Christians all because they have begun to research the validity of the Bible and of the historical context of Jesus Christ? Why is there a Lee Strobel and a C.S. Lewis and a Josh McDowell? There's this long list of scientists and historians and archaeologists that can go on forever. Because they dug deep, not just on the surface. You heard a TV show and you changed your mind instantly. But they dug, they did the research, and they went deep. And they found out that they could not deny Jesus is who he said he is. Because it's a heart issue, not a brain issue. Christianity is not afraid of science or history or any kind of critical thinking. It is not a put your brain on the shelf religion. But again, some people, you know, they seem happy, getting back to that. Don't be fooled by those who seem to be happy in their unbelief or disobedience. Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Gang, just because someone seems to be getting along good, and they're partying, and they're happy, and oh, I love Jesus, yeah, but I'm going to go do this other stuff. Don't think that they're just getting away with it. Just because lightning doesn't strike you doesn't mean that God's approving of it. But those who seem happy, you will have people that will, they'll see something in the Bible or they'll hear a teaching and they'll think, I have the sin in my life, I don't want to get rid of the sin. So they'll find a teacher, they'll find somebody who says what they want to hear, or they'll read something they want to read, right? And what did they do? Oh, I'm finally glad that someone said this. I'm finally glad that I found you. Oh, and a little tear in the eye, and oh gosh, I'm so thankful that I found this church that will go ahead and affirm me in my sin. Of course, they don't say it that way. But there's a lie going on. People that lie to themselves are happy. But it won't always stay that way. You see what I'm saying? You can't always measure something by what's going on right now in that person's life. Don't be fooled by that. That's just camouflage. Don't mistake God's patience for his approval. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider, see, it's in the Bible. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. What that basically is saying is, what happens? Does fruit instantly appear on a tree? Has anybody ever seen that? You're just walking down the street and there's a mango tree, it's like, poof, wow. How did that happen? It's magic. No, fruit happens. There's a seed, dies in the ground, grows a tree, and then it starts small, and then eventually that fruit is born over a long period of time, right? Or throughout the season. The fruit of the ways is basically our life choices are eventually going to add up. They're going to catch up with us. That's what it's saying. And even if we don't see something in this life, we will all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all have to give a word. We'll all have to give an account for the words that we spoke and the things we did. Did you know that even Christians have to stand before a judgment? Do you know that? The Bible talks about the great white throne judgment, those who have fully rejected Christ. But there is called the Bema Seat judgment, where we stand before the seat of Christ, and it's more of a victory judgment, but basically, that's going to be how you're rewarded. But we want to stand before there and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? We don't want to stand before them and go, yeah, wow, but I love you anyways. Not that it would sound like that, but I want to live this life in such a way that I get there and it's like, wow, well done. You know? Well, you didn't play around going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I'm going to talk about, towards the end, how we can fight against these things, but I think that we make a mistake when we don't understand the Bible in regards to God's judgment. We think, anybody see, like, well, something bad happens to somebody, and all of a sudden somebody jumps, oh, that must be God's judgment, really? It might, but it has nothing that you're not one to say. The Bible says not to gloat over the downfall of your enemy. It's against the word. We shouldn't be like, hoo, oh, no, no. But for the grace of God, there go I. We have to be careful. But just because we don't see an immediate backlash of something does not mean God's like, yay, and approving of our life or what we're doing. Think about a parent. Parent is not, a loving parent is not going to look at their child in disapproval and condemnation and every single day like, why are you still doing that? Eventually, as they grow up and become adults, we're going to love them. Even if they make a choice that we don't agree with, we're still going to love on them because we love them. Right? But our love doesn't mean I fully approve of everything and every decision you've ever made in your life. No. And neither is it that way with God. God is patient, wanting all, none to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Now, what about temptations? Understand that there will always be temptations, but you have the power within you to overcome them. Did you know that? Amen? I know it's kind of warm in here. We'll close up in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What's he saying there? He's not saying God's not going to give you anything you can't handle. That is not in the Bible. God will see you through things that you can't handle on your own. That's what that says. You will experience things that you can't handle. That's why you have God. Because if you could handle it, who needs God? So try not to repeat that to people. Well, you know, God's not going to give you anything you can't handle. God's going to give you plenty that you can't handle. It's called a test. And hopefully we can pass and grow. But that's why we have to lean on him. We have to trust in him. We have to have faith that we have that power. See, that's the thing. It's not that the Holy Spirit in us is not powerful enough to overcome the temptations to do wrong things. It's that we don't have faith that the Holy Spirit actually has given us that power to overcome those things. We have to apply faith. Everything is about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we simply have faith, Lord, I believe you've given me the power. Wow. Lord, I don't feel this right now. I'm not feeling this. But I believe what your word says and confess it. I believe you've given me power to overcome these temptations that I'm facing in my life. And you will be able to do it. A lot of times we don't change this because we don't have the motivation. But be careful of that, because sometimes things will happen to give you the motivation. Sometimes God will let you eat the fruits of your own ways. And it doesn't taste good. It's better to repent first. But to think we don't have the power? Not true. We do have power. We just kind of get fooled, or we fool ourselves into thinking, well, we don't have it. But we absolutely do. There is no doctor. There is no science. There is no medical science. There's no power on earth that can equal the power of the Holy Spirit to transform an individual's life. Nothing. Nothing. No therapy. Nothing can match the power of the Holy Spirit. Men have tried and failed, but where men have failed, God has succeeded. And he has the victory, and he will give you the victory. So how? How do we have it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What does that mean? Well, the first part is to trust in the Lord is what? Kind of have faith, what we just talked about, right? You've got to trust, right? You've got to have faith that not only is God real, not only is he in your life, but he hasn't just left you powerless, that you have power in your life to overcome the temptations. Do not rely on your own insight. Or I like the NIV, I think, that says lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. How many of you guys have leaned on your own understanding gets you in trouble? Right? See, when we lean on our own understanding, what happens is either we wait too long to make an important decision that God wants us to make, or we're too hasty and we jump out in front and make a decision that God was saying, wait. But if we would have prayed and we would have waited, God might have given us a little bit of his insight, right? For instance, small thing. Say you have somebody says something to you and you're offended, okay? And you take it to heart. I can't believe this person. I thought they were so nice and I can't believe they said this thing. Okay. Okay, let's put in your context of the younger generation. Somebody texts something and you misunderstand it. Now, that's easy. Because I'm sorry, you have emojis now. Doesn't work. Somebody accidentally sends you a poopy. I can't believe that's an emoji. I saw one in Walmart, this giant thing. And I thought, that is disgusting. Anyways. So, yeah, no amount of happy faces and all that's going to matter. You got to learn to talk to people face-to-face. Okay, let me just say that to you. Younger generation, networking and communication is this. Face-to-face. Okay? Texting is not for that. Texting is business. Texting is, I'll see you in a minute. Texting is not a relationship. You cannot have a relationship like this. Or how you girls do it. I can't even fit my mitts around those things. So, please, learn to talk to people. Get in small groups. Hey, let's go hang out. Something besides the club. Because who can hear anybody with pooch, 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 pooch? Seriously. I mean, go to Starbucks or something, right? This is me off of a cold. In all your ways, acknowledge him. But lean not on your own understanding. Okay, let me finish that up. So you're upset, right? Somebody texts you something, somebody says something, you're upset, and you text right back. Oh, just this angry text. You know, sad face, you know, whatever. I know there's like 100 or 200 of these things. Oh, I can't believe this person did that. And you send it to all your friends. And I never said that. Oh. Ooh. Damage control. You just lobbed an emotional grenade right into the center of the room, right into your group of friends. Boom, now you got to go do damage control. Oh my gosh, I got to clean up all this emotional debris. Oh. But if you would have not leaned on your own understanding, you would have said, prayed about it and calmed your heart and thought, you know, and the Lord said, you know, that person really loves you, right? Oh, yeah. Could have saved you, right? From making that dumb decision. That's called not leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What if it's like you, in 50% of your ways, acknowledge the Lord? 25% of your ways, acknowledge him. Is that what it says? And what? All your ways, acknowledge him, right? Do not compartmentalize your faith. You know what happens when we compartmentalize? That is, we take our faith in Jesus and put it in a little box, and we mark it 9 a.m. to 10:30 Sunday morning, and we put it over here. And like, okay, Jesus, I'll be right back in 7 days. We don't want to do that, right? Tomorrow morning, when you get up, Lord, thank you I got up. That's, as we get older, that's what we pray. Right? And then it's like, and then as you get older than that, you swing your feet out of bed, let the blood go to your feet, and you're like, thank you, Lord, for letting me get up. Sorry. But we want to thank God for the day. And then we go, Lord, just give me an opportunity to just bless you today, just to talk to my friends. Or me, you know, I've had coworkers. I remember working in a store and I had coworkers that crying. Everybody's staring at them as they're crying. Oh, come here. And they would just, I would just listen. And I might encourage them, do you know Jesus? Right? So my other manager would say, hey, you got to be careful that God talk. You know, look, if they want to talk, I'm going to let them talk, and I'm going to talk about what I believe. But sometimes you just got to be there for people, right? Look, don't compartmentalize. Let Sunday spill out all during the week. And just think about, you know, anything I've said that is of God, and it's, let it sit in your heart, and any weird things that don't make sense, just let it go by the wayside. But because all that matters is that you receive from the Lord. Amen? And he'll make your path straight. Gang, you want to stay straight. You don't want to stumble off into the dark path. You don't want to trip and stumble. If you want to be straight and you want to see the straight way, the straight and narrow way that Jesus talks about, and you want to stay on the lighted path, he is a lamp unto my feet. He is a light unto my path, right? It's God. You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in fellowship. Because the devil is kind of like one of those predators that you see on National Geographic that runs after packs, right? And wants to separate an animal from the pack. He wants to separate you from the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ so he can go out and get you. And if you stay in fellowship, that is, you stay in relationship with other Christians, as you get into the Bible, as you get into prayer, you will find strength. Your faith will be built up. And you know when your faith really increases? The first time you say no and you walk away. Nope, not doing that. Like, wow, I just walked away from that. What I thought might have been an opportunity, but it was really sin. And it's hard at first because sin feels good. Just saying, does. Otherwise, nobody do it, right? Sin, no, I don't want to do that. But what feels even better, you walk away, and the Lord goes, see? Wow. You look at all these people that have all this, you know, they're in ministry, or we look at them. You know, don't put people up on a pedestal. Everybody struggles. But Billy Graham and guys like him and people in ministry or even pastors, again, you can put us up on a pedestal, but we are doing the same thing that you guys do. We're just trying to live our life out. We're just choosing one day at a time to walk away from the bad and to go towards the good. One day at a time. One decision at a time. I don't want to do that. I'll do that. Do we ever get to a point where we'll never be tempted? Mm-hmm. When you're dead. Because you'll be in heaven, and there won't be any more flesh, and you got a new body. But until that time, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. But we can overcome, amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, we bless your name, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the love, the strength, the power by your Holy Spirit to overcome things that tempt us in this life, to overcome the doubts that come our way, to overcome, Lord, disappointment, sadness, discouragement, depression. Lord, you have given us everything that we need to encounter true transformation. And I just pray, Lord, right now, for anybody here who's struggling, Lord, maybe they've given in. They've not said no. They've said yes. They've stumbled off the path. I pray that you just wrap your arms around them right now. Tell them, I love you. And I'm not done with you. I know that's your heart, Lord. And if this rings true for you, then I just want you to pray this prayer in your heart, and I'll pray with you. Lord Jesus, you know that I've tried, and it's been hard. But I ask your forgiveness. And I ask for you, Lord, to change me, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I need you in my life every day. And at those times I stumble or fail in my flesh, would you pick me up? And lead me unto your path, the path of light, the path that leads to life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my God and being in my life. I trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.